Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Whew. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. You know, when we praise and worship, how can I explain this? But anyways, your brain does not go into that realm. Hello? In other words, when you step through the veils, the curtains of glory, your brain can't pen it go through. So you're outside thinking about all kinds of stuff. But your spirit and your heart's going through. Has everybody got that? So don't be distracted by how you're thinking. I saw the vision. The Lord gave me that. Because I'm like, man, what the heck? I said, God, your brain, your thoughts, these things do not go through the veil. They stay outside. So your brain is still outer court. Even though we renew it, amen, we renew our new man, but the old man and the brain and its thoughts stay in the outer court. And you penetrate through the veils. So what is it? It's heart to heart, isn't it? Isn't a relationship heart to heart? It ain't mind to mind. I'd be in trouble. I wouldn't have any relationships. You ever heard the saying, the brain is the terrible thing? People got Dame damage in their brain, you know. That's why the Bible keeps telling us renew, renew, renew. We got to renew until we're so renewed we can't renew. But you got to renew all the way home. So praise and worship. Don't be discouraged when you're still thinking whatever. But I'll tell you, if you just let it go, and as you penetrate, you'll forget your brain's in the outer court. Amen. And you'll go into the most holy places, and you'll have a relationship heart to heart. And you'll be going, man, what's going on? You don't. And God says, you ain't got to know. You got to trust. But I'm doing something. He's always doing something. So quit relying. That's what the word says. Don't rely on yourself. What do you mean by rely? Relying on your brain. Relying on your self-thoughts. Oh, hallelujah. Anyways, I thought I'd release that nugget this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, and let's speak it together. Everybody there? For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are what? Perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now think about this. What an exchange. We were perishing because of the message of the cross, which at one time we didn't want to know or hear or grab hold of or even understood. And we were perishing. But after we have been born of the Spirit, it is now the power of God. That's the difference in the area where the Bible says the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. Things were recorded to express the creator of his love and his power and who he really is. So we have written things about him. We have written testimonies. We have booklets. We have apostles that wrote things during that time. But now we have the Holy Spirit who reveals Jesus to us. Amen? So in this, again, we are in such a time of overload. There's overload everywhere. Overload information. Overload attacks, overload this, overload sicknesses and diseases, overload. There's so much overload. It's incredible. Amen? All right, verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, Greeks after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. But he says something, those who are called. No man comes to the Father unless he's called them. So you can go plant seeds, but that seed won't be birthed until God calls it. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is what? Stronger than men. 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Thank God we were all out there as boneheads. You wouldn't have been qualified if you weren't. But God has chosen the what? Foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. What is the message of the cross? Then think about this. I know you're going to say, man, he's saying this again. Anyway, the message of the cross is the truth of reality. It's the what? Truth of reality. That's what, isn't it? Then would Jesus come to bring reality, right? He came, so the message of the cross is actually the truth of reality. So those who are not accepting the message of the cross are perishing. Why? Because it's the truth of reality. And if they're not in the truth of the reality, they're in the false reality. And they're perishing. John chapter 1, verse 1. Oh, happy days. I like when God talks about reality. I mean, isn't that to me, the reality is so vital. It is vital. I mean, that's what reality, man. When he showed up, I got a reality check. Woohoo! He's real. And he releases little nuggets and surprises to make himself real all the time. Little things that come up. Oh, that's you, Lord. There ain't no man doing that stuff. He's always doing something in our life. What's he doing? He's trying to keep our reality alive in him and everything he does. Hallelujah. John 1, 1 and 1 and 1. Everybody there? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not what? They didn't comprehend it, man. They didn't get it. So they were still caught up in the false reality then. 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in a world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. That is so beautiful. I mean, that is beautiful. not of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but the will of God. Why? Because he chose me and you to know the truth of reality. That is, I'm sorry, that's just crazy to me. That's just amazing to me. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of what? Truth. Exposing, what was Jesus doing? He was exposing spiritual birth with the plan of escape, false reality. He was exposing the spiritual birth with the plan of escaping false reality by the truth of reality. Because he's the carrier of the truth. Again, we live in a place that is, it's a different reality. God's reality is different than ours. And he's trying to bring us into his reality. And the Bible says that this is not our home. That means this place is not our permanent living quarters. This is temporary, but we're in another reality. And just like when we were talking about your brain can't comprehend these other realities. It has a hard time comprehending true reality. That's why your spirit and your heart, your new man, associates with the new reality, the true reality. The brain has no place there. When we go into that place, we become brain dead. Thank God. Because we're always trying to figure things out and calculate things out. We're always looking for a feeling to connect what we believe. And it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all. John chapter 3, verse 9. Hallelujah. I know this may sound like another sci-fi pastor teaching, but it's the Holy Spirit sci-fi teaching. Hallelujah. See, when I'm given this stuff, it usually doesn't make sense until I get up here and speak it. Then I see it, and it begins to fall into place, and everything becomes divine order, and I get energized because of the anointing. It's nothing me. Remember, he says, you know, he will speak through us. It's the anointing that teaches us. We don't want man to teach us. I don't want the pastors to teach me. I want the Holy Ghost to teach me. Amen. We want to be raised by the Holy Spirit. He's now our mentor. He's our teacher. He's our pappy, our mammy, and our nanny. He's our everything. Amen. And we want to be led by him. And it doesn't mean you're not going to obey him all the time, believe me. But we're learning how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. It's a daily challenge and it's a daily training. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 9. Are we there yet? I'm not. Okay. Here we go. Nicodemus answered and said to Jesus, how can these things be? In other words, how can you be born again? And Jesus answered and said, are you a teacher of Israel and don't know these things? Boy, did he get rebuked. Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. Verse 12. Did I miss something? No. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who comes down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not what? Perish, but have eternal life. Remember, those who are living in the false reality will perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not, what? Perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He came to bring the truth of reality. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they may be done in God. Believe as to what? Follow. Amen? So they're going to follow the plan of escape and overcome false realities. And these false realities were placed by the devil. They're placed by evil. And many people, what does the Bible tell us? That the gate is what? Narrow and difficult, isn't it? But broad and wide is easier. So many people are going into these false realities, sucked up in the love of money and all kinds of other things that the enemy portrays, and can't get out of it. Didn't he say it was harder for a rich man to go through the eye of the needle? Amen. And he didn't mean one of those sewing needles. Amen. It's a room where the camel, they used to go, a place, it's an opening door where the camel couldn't get in. That's where they used to escape to. But again, this is, we are in a time right now where we're watching people perish. Look at how many people are perishing in Iran. And all of those regimes are living in a false reality. They're murdering people, executing them, torturing them. Look at what Hitler did. Look what all of these corrupt, demonized, false reality individuals. Why? Because if they're demonized, they're living in a false reality, aren't they? They have no conception of truth except for what they create their own truth in. And we're watching it. That's what God's doing right now. God's exposing all these things, isn't he? He's really busting down these false realities. He's breaking the walls. He's shutting the doors. He's shaking and shaking and quaking. A lot of things are going on all over the world. And one of the things he's trying to do is liberate humanity. That song that we sing, Commission My Soul, it's so perfect for what God is doing right now. And we're in it. And it's not that you have to be out there. It means that you have to be a warrior. You have to be a soldier. You have to do spiritual warfare. Without spiritual warfare, you can't do it. Listen, nothing's going on without prayer. All of this has established what's going on. God put a servant in office, Trump, and all that. Trump can't save the world. Only Jesus can. I mean, come on. He can't even keep chemtrails out of the sky. Only God can do it. And he is doing divine intervention right now. It's happening. Why? Because so many people are perishing. Amen? And what do they perish from? Lack of knowledge. They're destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Hallelujah. John 8, 42. Jesus is speaking to Pharisees and Sadducees. And he says to them, in verse 42, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. I'm waiting for Trump to say that in his office. When all these leaders come in and want to negotiate with him, he said, I'm waiting for him to say, you're of your father, the devil. Oh, that'd be awesome. All televised. Woohoo! That'd be the anointing upon Trump big time. He's going to look around the room. My God, I can't believe I just said that. You're on the devil. That's what needs to be exposed, isn't it? People are afraid of losing their positions and their jobs and their money. Man, go out there and speak the truth. Who cares? He does. Jesus cares. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Do you understand? What's he talking about? There's no true reality in him. He lives in his own false reality and wants to bring everybody in his false reality. And what's it controlled by? Deception. Fear. Amen? When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and a father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Now, think about how many people that are proclaiming to be believers that are perishing and they don't even know it. They don't know it. Why? Because they're living in a false reality. They're not living in the true reality of God Almighty. Why? They're not living in God's presence. God's presence is far from them. And we're watching it all over the world. And they're being exposed. Glory to God. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Glory, glory, and glory. Truth of reality. What is the truth of reality? Everybody there? Let's speak it. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not what? Lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to the those who are perishing. Why? Because what does the gospel do? It is the message of truth of reality. It's the message of what? True reality. Think about that. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine upon them. How many people do you know proclaim to be believers, but they refuse to read the word of God? Oh, I don't, that's just a book. They need to get hit with it. That's what they need to do. Hallelujah. That's just a book. No, it's not a book. It's God's words. It's testimonies of how he spoke through people. It's his promises and covenant. But see, they don't believe that. They don't believe in God's word. They believe in good works. I'm a good person. Well, how are you going to pray? Well, I bless my food every day. Oh, goody. See, these people that are proclaiming to believers are outer quarters. They're outer quarters. Why? Because they're living in their mindsets. And they go by how they think and how they feel. That's how they live. They can't be led by the Spirit of God because they refuse to. And if you try to say anything to them, boy, do they get frustrated. Try and tell a religious person you're deceived. You better duck. It's like telling a Democrat they're going to hell. Same thing. Hallelujah. Verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. How wonderful. Hallelujah. We have entered in a time of falling away and perishing. It's increasing more and more. Not many believing in the cross or the message of the cross. They refuse to accept the truth of reality because they don't believe that there's another reality. They believe they want everything, all that, man, they want to see the whole world. They want to know everything about this reality, but not about the one which is the truth of reality, the true reality. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 89. Hallelujah. Psalm 119, verse 89. Glory to God. Everybody there? Let's speak it. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances for all your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would have what? Then perished in my affliction. So he was holding on to the word of God, because what is it going to express? It's the message of the God. It's the message of the cross, isn't it? I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me. For I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Oh, how I love your law. It is my focus or my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. You, and they are what? Ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation or my focus. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I restrain my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. I love that. You yourself, Spirit taught him, didn't he? You yourself have taught me. Oh, yes. I love that. That is so awesome. Praise God. Anyways, I want to go to 101. I have restrained my feet from what? Every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honeycomb to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way or what? Reality. Every false reality. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. First John 3:7. Truth of reality. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? Let's speak it. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this is the purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might what? Destroy the works of the devil. What's his works? Amen. False realities. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Destroy the works of the devil. What's he doing? Because the devil creates false realities by deception. Jesus came to bring the truth of reality to all humanity. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse... Oh, I'm in Timothy, that's why. 16. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's begin. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Hallelujah. But we're not perishing. Even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being what? Renewed day by day. For our light affliction was but a moment, is working for us for more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Why? Because the things that are seen are temporary false realities. But the things that are not seen are eternal, true realities. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Oh, hallelujah. Don't lose heart. Don't be misled. Don't be deceived. Or taken out of the true reality. Amen. Romans chapter 8, 12. Hallelujah. Romans 8, verse 12. How are we there? We all landed there? We're cool. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Why? Because the flesh is a promoter of false reality. That's why when you go through the veils, guess what? That carnal mind can't go in. You can turn away, turn around as you're going through the veils and wave bye to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be what? Glorified with him. Hallelujah. Remember, the flesh promotes false realities. The Spirit promotes the true reality. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6:10, please. Ephesians 6:10. Glory. Anybody there? Anybody there? Somebody there. Ephesians 6, chapter 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or the trickery. Why? So you don't get sucked into a false reality. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. For therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Are the days evil? Like never before, let me tell you, they're crazy. Amen? So we see here that one of the things that's important is getting dressed with the full armor of God. Why? Because you must be prepared for war all the time. You must start your day off in warfare. You praise and worship, you know, but you got to warfare. Because praise and worship is warfare. It's the greatest weapon of warfare. Remember, as you and I praise and worship, that's why we gather today. It's always keeping open the access port. The less we praise and worship, that port starts closing up. That's why you notice you get refreshed. Amen? And you get refreshed in your spirit, you get refreshed in your body. And again, you don't get refreshed, you get refreshed. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, there's something important that I wanted to share. Let's go to Luke 20 first. Luke 20, verse 9. Luke 20, verse 9. You know, the Bible warns us about, in the latter days, that many will be deceived and taken captive, and false religions and doctrines of demons, and many of their consciences will be seared. And we're watching it right now, and we're seeing it happen. And those that it's happened to are still living in a false reality. And that's what God is trying to bring them out of. But they've got to come to a place of humbleness, humility, and repentance. They've got to give God the opportunity, whether they understand it or not. And this is where you and I have to stand all the time. You know, you ask people out there, did you sin today? No. Well, you sin every day, you know. You just sinned by telling me no. Because they don't understand that reality. They don't understand that reality of what sin is. They just think it's something really bad. Sin is just rebellion against God. You don't have to go out and murder someone to proclaim it's sin. Just rebellion against God is sin. Amen? Luke 20, verse 9. Then Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard, leased it to the vine dressers, and went into a far country for a long time. Now at the vintage time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that they might give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the vine dressers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent another servant, and they beat him also, treated him shamefully, and sent him away empty-handed. And again, he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him away. Then the owner of the vineyard, whatever, that, what shall I do? And I will send my beloved son. Probably they will respect him when they see him. Why? Because they knew he was the owner's son. Well, that didn't help. But when the vine dressers saw him, they reasoned among themselves. They did what? They reasoned among themselves. Now, reasoning is what we call, in the carnal arena, a guillotine of faith. Okay, but reasoning is a comparison. In other words, it can be a discussion. It can be used for good or bad. But they were using it for bad because they were making an excuse about what they were about to do. So everybody get this? They were making it. See, so this reason is a shield to conviction. I'm going to state it again. This type of reasoning is a shield to conviction. It prevents conviction from coming in. If you're an individual that has to reason all the time, you're preventing conviction from God. That's why sometimes when things happen, conviction, because you're reasoning, and then when you stop reasoning, conviction can come the next day. Oh, yeah. You're right, Lord. I was an idiot. Sorry. Why? Because reasoning prevents conviction. It shields it from coming in. Is everybody with me? And this is what the enemy's trying to do big time everywhere. He's trying to bring reasoning, arguments of reasoning. You know, what is really the reasoning in the carnal flesh is a cover-up of self-justification. And that self-justification comes from not wanting to be found out. Hello? Does everybody get it? All right, let's go back there again. All right, verse 14, I think it was in. But when the vine dressers saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, "This is the heir." Now look what their reasoning was. "Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours." Well, they were totally wrong, weren't they? So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do to them? Now, Jesus is telling them this parable. He will come and destroy those vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, "Certainly not." Then he looked at them and said, "What then is that? It is written, the stone which the builders rejected has come become the chief cornerstone. Whoever falls on that stone will be broken, but whomever it falls on, it will grind him to powder." And the chief priests and the scribes that very hour sought to lay hands on him, but they feared the people, for they knew he had spoken this parable against them or about them. He was exposing their corruptive reasoning from a false reality. Again, what does reasoning do? It shields conviction. It prevents it. Why? Because reasoning is nothing but a self-justification. So again, don't get me wrong. We're reasoning all the time for something because we're always comparing something. But if you're looking for reasoning as an excuse, then you're going to prevent conviction from coming in. Until you stop it, then conviction has access. Does everybody understand? And conviction is to constantly promote the true reality. That's why conviction comes. It's not to bring guilt or condemnation. Conviction comes so that we can repent and get restored back to the true reality. That's what this is all about. That's why Jesus came. That's what you and I are fighting for every day. That when we are born into this world, we still want to know who we are, why we're here, and where we're going. We want to know what the heck. And we still want to know what the heck. Even though we know what the heck, we want to know more what the heck. Amen? So be prepared. Don't get sucked into that place of carnal reasoning, corruptive reasoning. Amen. And don't justify it. When somebody says something to you, say, "Well, you did this." That's open reasoning. So you're not willing to accept a conviction. But conviction is what saves us. Amen. Conviction is what keeps you in the true reality. Everybody okay? All right. Well, Father, we just thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Seal it, seal it, seal it, seal it. And let it grow and bear fruit for your glory in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Praise God.